Welcome to CUSA Conversations with Chris. We're excited to bring you series number two of our show, where we focus on the unique role of Westwater Resources in the battery materials market. Westwater CEO Chris Jones will discuss how the team is developing a safe and secure supply of graphite from procurement all the way through to production here in the United States. Stay tuned to learn how Westwater Resources is supplying the energy of the future.
With me here today is Jay Wago. He's our Vice President of Sales and Marketing here at Westwater. And we're going to be talking in turn about our three products. Today's talk is really about our PMG product, one of our three projects, our battery graphite products. And Jay, the audience has already been introduced to you on a far more general basis, but here we're talking specifically about our purified micronized graphite, our Ultra PMG product. Can you just tell us who uses this material and why do they use it?
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me again. So as Chris, you just said, we have three different types of graphite products. PMG is one of them. So PMG stands for purified micronized graphite. And this is one of the key products that we'll be producing. And the application is pretty broad, actually. It is the purpose of this material, PMG, is for performance enhancer or conductivity enhancer, to be more specific. Any battery systems require this material. So in terms of applications, this type of material is already being used in the market. Lead acid is one of them. If you drive a car, more than likely, you have the battery. That's the battery that starts the engine, basically. So that's one. Alkaline batteries, if you have a flashlight or any other devices in the house, you more than likely have several or maybe dozens of alkaline batteries in your household. And this is something you can purchase quite easily at the store, whether at Home Depot, Lowe's, and your local grocery stores. So this alkaline system. And this PMG can be also used for lithium primary cells. That's non-rechargeable lithium battery systems. And you may not realize, but it's everywhere. I just talked about car. But nowadays, especially if you have newer vehicles, if you have purchased your car in the last, let's say, 5 years or so, most likely comes with the tire pressure monitoring systems that monitors tire pressures on the fly. So whether it's a 32 PSI or 35 PSIs that your car requires, this system monitors the tire pressure. It's one of the really most important, perhaps, safety features. And lithium coin cell or button cells are used for that pressure monitoring. These batteries last quite a long time, 10 years or so. So our materials, PMG, that is used in that type of application as well. So it's pretty broad. We often talk about lithium ion systems for electric vehicles, and certainly that's an important market for us. But this PMG, purified micronized graphite, which is a conductivity enhancer, is being used for various different battery chemistries, perhaps with the exception of nickel metal hydride batteries. So it's definitely a significant, important product for us and for the market as well.
That's interesting, Jay. I was just, as you were speaking, I did a bit of a review on my last 24 hours. And last evening, a friend of mine got a new car, and we went for a drive in it. So that particular vehicle has both a 12-volt starting system, like you described, a lead-acid battery to start the car. It also has a 48-volt lithium-ion system for powering all kinds of different things, including the accessory drives on the engine itself and as a power supply for its motor. Mm-hmm. Zoom then forward to the use of my iPad and my phone last evening, my laptop this morning, And then in my own vehicle, driving over here to the studio for this recording, you know, which, you know, that particular vehicle has two 12-volt batteries in it. You know, this batteries as part of your everyday life ethos is really important, I think, for our listeners to know and understand. And this PMG product, our Ultra PMG product, goes into all those batteries.
Right. And I forgot to mention one thing, and hopefully not many people have this device in your body, but a pacemaker, for example, does a medical application, does lithium primary cells in that device. So PMG can be used in the system as well. So if you think about by the time you get up in the morning and by the time you go to bed, you really rely on the various different battery systems and chemistries. And this PMG, conductivity enhancer, is used in various different systems. So yeah, it's almost in some ways enabling materials for a lot of things that we use on a daily basis.
This is daily life stuff.
Right.
This is good to know. So from an end consumer perspective, we talked a little bit about the problems we solve through the use of these types of batteries and that they're essential to it, all the way from biomedical devices to our basic transportation, our communication systems, and laptops, smoke detectors. We've solved a lot of problems, a lot of consumer issues as an industry by the use of this particular material. Can you tell us just a little bit about the process Westwater uses to make these materials?
So graphite itself, many people already make those today, particularly in China. But our process is a bit unique and it's differentiated in many ways. So we produce natural graphite, which is different from synthetic graphite. And we have an inherent cost advantage, but that's not the only advantage we want to have. So the way we process our material, we get feedstock, essentially concentrated natural graphite, which is already 95% pure. And then the unique process we have is that we purify the feedstock at the beginning. We convert 95% into 99.95% or higher purity with a proprietary process that we have, which doesn't use harsh chemicals and it's robust, simpler. And so that's really our advantage. And then we have subsequent processes to produce three different graphite products, including PMG we just talked about.
As we, as a society, move towards greater sensitivity to environmental, social, and governance issues, these environmental processes we use, the environmentally sensitive processes we use to produce the purified microknife graphite, the PMG product, can you regard them as a marketing point, a marketing edge for our business, that allows us to have conversations with potential customers that we might not normally have?
Absolutely. So if you think about the growth of the graphite market and energy storage or batteries will be the main driver, and we're looking at a significant growth in terms of volume in the next 10 years. Double-digit growth every year. So, you know, if you simply apply, let's say, 15% CAGR, compounding annual growth rate, and if you repeat that five times or 5 years, then you double the market, essentially. So you can imagine how rapidly this market will be growing in the next, let's say, 10 years. So we need to rely on a lot of material. And so it's not only that, what people pay attention to is how we're sourcing that, right? Maybe a good example, maybe a cobalt that is produced primarily in Africa. So there's some, child labor issues and things like that. Because you don't want to be driving electric vehicles thinking, oh, this is great for the society. But, you know, if you think about how the materials were sourced, it may not be the case. So that's important, you know, not only for sales and marketing, but for any company in terms of sustainability. It is one of the key core competencies that we need to have in place. So that's definitely important.
We've talked a little bit about the processing of the graphite from a purification standpoint. What's the next step in making PMG?
So PMG, again, stands for purified micronized graphite. So we don't need to purify anymore. So next step for PMG is to micronize it, to make the certain size that's required. It's as small as 3 micron, maybe 5 micron, as large as 20 or 30 micron, depending on the technical requirements. And so essentially it's really grinding in a way, micronizing, making the particle smaller so that it can be used in certain applications as required.
How big is a micron? You know, I seem to remember that a human hair is around 18 microns in diameter. Is that about right?
Okay. I grew up in Japan, so I my head is all metric, Chris. it's pretty small. Let me put this. So size of hair is about 1 mil, isn't it? And so that would be about 27, 28 micron, to give you a sense.
And we're making stuff that is basically 1/10 of that in size at 3 microns.
Essentially, yes.
So it's just not a matter of pushing our material through a screen.
Oh, definitely not.
This is a special machine that sizes and separates sizing in at the micron level. These are pretty sophisticated machines.
Correct. And not only do we need to make the certain size? When we say size, we're talking about D50 or, you know, let's say it's an average particle size to keep it simple. But not only is it important, we also need to make the particle distribution just right. So in a technical term, we use D10 and D90, so lower end of spectrum, essentially. So it cannot be too broad or too narrow either. So that's another technical challenge when it comes to making the right physical property.
And in lay terms, what that really means is you've got an average particle size, but you can't, right. But you can't have a lot of other particle sizes mixed up with it, or it fails. So here's a question with regard to our pilot program. Are we able to make that in our pilot plant?
Yes, we are, as we speak, making different sizes of particle size. And as I said, we're making sure that we also get the right particle size distribution. So yes, we're getting a pretty promising results.
That's good to know. And thanks, Jay, for the detail around that. This is a detailed and technical product, and it goes into everyday life. And it's important it performs, and it's important that performance is dictated occasionally by size constraints and by other electrical performance constraints. So how would a customer approach us to learn more about our products or engage us in some sort of a testing? How does that work in general?
Right. So we are in a pilot phase, started to produce graphite materials. So two things are important. So one is that we need to really validate materials work as designed. So we're doing internal testing, both on the physical properties and also in the battery systems. It could be very quick preliminary type of testing we can do, particularly for conductivity enhancers. So we are doing that already. And we're building data that really show, you know, our products perform well, in some cases differentiated and better than the existing materials out there. So that's one. And at the same time, we are engaging potential customers that will be sampling a material and making sure that they get the similar results. If not, you know, what do we need to do? What can we modify, whether physical properties and whatnot, to really make sure that material works. So it's pretty technical driven type of process in place.
A bit of a leading question and statement here. It's That's probably why we brought you on aboard, isn't it?
Well, I hope that's correct. And yes, I mean, we are in a very technical industry, and we don't make commodity type of product. For some applications, it could be almost commodity type of material, but we don't want to be a commodity player. So even in this pilot phase, we're really trying to see what's the technical edge we can have. We don't want to necessarily make just me too product. We're trying to differentiate our products, whether it's physical properties and some other properties. So yes, the technical aspect is pretty important.
And for our audience's edification, really, a commodity is really defined by not being different no matter where you go. So if you go to the store and buy a gallon of milk, product differentiation is really not there. Milk is milk when you go get it, or a head of lettuce. By and large, it tends to be a commodity. These are specialty products that are tailor-made for each of our potential customers according to their specifications, by and large. Is that the basic difference? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think you said it right. So absolutely. So what we need to have in place is R&D capabilities. And this is going to continue even after we commercialize our product. So what I mean by R&D is that that doesn't necessarily mean that we're always developing some innovative materials or products, but it's more about understanding our customers' requirements. And this is very intricate discussion. And essentially what we need to learn and understand is that customers are looking for certain performance enhancement, improvements. And what does it mean to our graphite? So we need to translate that. So that is that bridging exercise is very important. We need to really understand their system well, their agenda, their system, how our material works and why, the mechanistic understanding of our product in their system, so that we can transfer the knowledge into our system. And within that operational windows that we have, and it's pretty robust window we have, then we can make the right adjustment so that we can, tailor-made the product for a specific customer and application. So that's what I mean by R&D.
Something of an iterative process with the customer to make sure that they're getting what they want later, and our ability to tailor fit our products to that. So in terms of product evaluation. So, we've got a potential customer that wants to take on some of our material for testing. For PMG, what does that testing look like in terms of time and mechanics?
Yes. So PMG, among the three products we have, it's probably, I don't want to necessarily use the word easiest, but in terms of the qualification time required, it's probably the shortest. So it is a conductivity enhancer. It's not the active material like a CSPG, in one of the products that we'll be making. So the testing is relatively simple. The first test that what we or our customers will be doing is a four-terminal or four-point conductivity test, which is pretty simple test to see conductivity or impedance. Resistivity of it. So it's either you measure conductivity or you measure resistivity, which can tell you conductivity. Either way, it's a pretty simple test. And a potential customer would be making sample material and whether it's a sample size needs to be 10 or 100. But it's a pretty simple testing, relatively simple testing, I should say. It doesn't take, 12 months or 2 years to complete the test. So it's a reasonably quick technical qualification.
Jay, we've talked a little bit about the product. We've talked a little bit about evaluation. What's the competitive landscape? Who's making this material out there, and with whom do we compete? And we've talked a little bit about how we might compete.
Right. So in terms of PMG, there are only a few existing suppliers in North America, and there are quite a few suppliers in Asia, you know, Japan and China mainly. So, you know, we could get the material from other regions, but you know, the reason why we're in business is that we're trying to address the issue of supply chain challenge as well as sustainability, particularly for North America and perhaps Europe. So, yeah, we definitely understand the competitors or competitive landscape out there, but we have space that we can play in or participate in.
Thanks for joining us for CUSA Conversations with Chris. This episode is part of series number 2 here on our podcast, where we discuss the unique position of Westwater as the main supplier and producer of graphite here in the U.S. market with a domestic supply. To stay up to date on what's happening in the green energy industry, please subscribe to our newsletter using the link in our episode notes. We will also be taking questions you would like to have answered either here on the show or on Chris's LinkedIn through our audience form. You can also find the link to this form in the episode notes, and we really look forward to hearing from you, our listener. Until next time.